Amen. Please be seated. It's a great privilege to have Caleb Jabello with us, a pioneering missionary to Papua New Guinea. He's been here about 3 years ago was the last time he was in our pulpit, and it's a great blessing to have him with us today. Those of you who were here in the first hour were greatly blessed, if you were like me, with that missionary report. We look forward to hearing him break open the Word of God to us this morning. Come, brother, and bring God's Word to us.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning. I was excited, as was just mentioned, to give a report of the work in New Guinea, and now to delight to open up God's Word and to hear His Word preached. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to be focusing specifically on verse 24, but I'm going to begin reading in verse 22 down to 26. So 1 Corinthians 15, 22 to 26. Follow along as I read. For as in Adam, everyone dies, but in Christ, we shall be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to him. Then comes the end, when Christ will deliver the kingdom to God the Father, when he shall put all rule and authority and power under him. For he must reign till he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be defeated is death. Father, bless your word as we have read it. Bless your word as it is preached, that you would send your spirit to work and to open our eyes to see Christ and his kingdom and to understand that the end is coming and that we would be faithful to this work until then. In Jesus' name, amen. At the heart of Christianity is the gospel of Christ, his death upon the cross, his resurrection from the dead. And as we consider the death of Christ, which is central, foundational to Christianity, we have to ask ourselves and think of the purposes of his death, right? Why has Christ died upon the cross? And we could give many reasons for the death of Christ upon the cross. But one reason we will consider this morning, one clear purpose for the death of Christ on cross, is that he would establish a kingdom. That's what we see here in our text that we're focusing on, verse 24. That in the end, Christ will deliver a kingdom to God the Father. And I want to bring this into missions. How does this relate to missions? As we consider the end, which our text speaks of, as we consider the kingdom, how does this relate to missions? And that's going to be one of our focuses this morning in the sermon. It is through missions that this kingdom is established. One primary goal of missions is that Christ's kingdom that we see here in our text, the kingdom that one day he will deliver to the Father, one of the purposes of missions, one of the goals, is that this kingdom would be established. Now, I use the term missions. We could say the Great Commission or world evangelism. But just for the sake of the term and the term that we're most familiar with, I will use the term missions. One day, the mission will be completed. The end will come, and the kingdom will be delivered to God the Father. And that's what we see here in our text in verse 24. Then comes the end. And what's going to happen at the end? Christ will deliver this kingdom to God the Father. So the purpose of the sermon this morning is to show how the mission, the end, and the kingdom are closely related, and to spur us on as Christians, as Christ's people, to do the mission so that the end does come and Christ will deliver this kingdom to his Father. So that's the focus of the sermon this morning, looking at this topic specifically from our text here in 1 Corinthians 15:24. The mission, the end, and the kingdom. Well, let's get into our text here. Two simple points. And the first one we're going to look at, as we see in verse 24, is the end. That's usually not the first point, but for this sermon it is. Point one is the end. There is an end. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 certainly focuses on that. As we consider the resurrection of Christ, he has died upon the cross. He has been raised. And as we read here in our text 22 to 26, Christ the first fruits. And then when he returns, his people will also be raised at the end when he comes. This is a theme in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the end. The end will come. Even this morning in our prayer, and I appreciated that, the eschatological view that Christians should have. That we're not just stuck in this world, this cursed world, doing the same thing over and over forever. An end will come. That's a theme in 2 Peter chapter 3. The end is coming. And certainly it's a theme throughout the book of the Revelation, which is the end of Scripture. So there is an end. And Christ's people need to believe this and need to live according to this fact that the end is coming. As we see here in our text and throughout the New Testament, the end is synonymous with Jesus is coming. We see that very clearly here in 22 through 26 of 1 Corinthians 15. The end comes when Christ comes. His return is the end. Or we could say the end of this age, the end of this world as we know it. We see this here in this chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 and also in Matthew 24 and 25 as Jesus talks about the end and connects it with his coming. And one thing that Jesus emphasizes over and over again when he talks about the end is that we as his people need to be ready. That's the one thing Jesus emphasizes. We don't know when, we don't know how, but Christ is coming. And we need to be prepared for his return. But also, we see this in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, again in 2 Peter chapter 3, that the end is synonymous, or we could say equals, the return of Christ. Not only that, but the end is imminent. Christians have always believed this. Even from the beginning, after the resurrection of Christ, pretty much every generation of Christians have thought that the end is now, the end is imminent. And we see that even in Revelation chapter 22, towards the very end of the Bible, Jesus speaks and he says, I am coming soon. We need to live as if that's true. Christ is returning. His return is imminent. This is one of the focuses of his parables. Often Jesus spoke about the end and that it's imminent. As we consider the end of this age, the end of our lives, the end of this world, and that it is soon coming, God's people should not live as if this world, as if this age is our home. Right? If the end is coming, which it is, if Christ is coming back, and he is, we should not live as if this age or this world is our home, but focus on the mission. The mission is not for us to live in this world forever. That is not what the mission is. But to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations, and then the end will come. Jesus' followers should pray for the end to come. Is that something that you pray for? When you gather together as a family, around the dinner table, when you gather together as a church for prayer meeting, is one of the things that you pray for is that the end would come, that Christ would return. Christians should pray for this. We read again in Revelation chapter 22. Come, Lord Jesus. We should desire and pray for the return of Christ and the end to come. And not only that, but as we consider the end, that the end is approaching, that it's imminent, Christians should, as Peter puts it, hasten the coming of Christ. We read that in 2 Peter chapter 3. I just mentioned that as a focus on the end. And how does that relate to us as Christians? How does that relate to you, the fact that the end is coming? Jesus is returning. You should hasten his coming. You should make him come back more quickly. We could put it that way. Well, how do we do that? How do we make Jesus come back more quickly? Well, Jesus tells us one main way, and that's in Matthew chapter 24, as he speaks about the end. And he puts it this way: this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed throughout the entire world, and then the end will come. How do we hasten the coming of Christ? How do we speed up the end coming? Well, we preach the gospel throughout the entire world. That is how the end and missions are connected. That's how they're related. One way we could say it is we do missions until the end. We evangelize the nations until the end. Or we could say it this way, that the end will come when the mission is complete. You see, Christ will not come back. The end will not come before the work is done. We have a mission to do, a mandate that Christ has given us to evangelize the nations, not just our town, but the nations. And as we do that, we hasten the coming of Christ. See, Jesus connects the end and missions, not just in Matthew 24, which I just quoted, that the gospel will be proclaimed throughout the entire world, and then the end will come. That's Matthew 24. But he also makes the connection in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. And I'm going to be preaching on that this evening. But in the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, the end and the mission are connected as Jesus says, I will be with you until the end. And that's in the direct context of missions. Go do missions. Make disciples. Proclaim the gospel to the world. Do this work, this main work that I've given the church. And I'll be with you until the end. My promised presence will be with you until this mission is completed. So you see how the end and missions are connected there? Matthew 24 and also Matthew chapter 28. So, one biblical definition of missions is in Jesus' very words. And I touched upon this morning as I gave a missions report. You know, what is missions all about? What is the Great Commission? What does it mean to evangelize the nations? Well, one definition that we could give in the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 24: proclaim the gospel, announce the message of Christ throughout the entire world, and then the end will come. That's missions. That's what we call missions. So according to Jesus, the end will come when his followers fulfill the mission to proclaim this gospel to the nations. Do you want the end to come? Do you want to see Christ return? Do you want the new kingdom to be ushered in? I do. That means we should be busy in working to fulfill the mission. And when the end comes, Jesus will deliver, or we could say, hand over this kingdom to God the Father. And this leads us to our second main point here. As we see in our text in 1 Corinthians 15, then the end comes, and what we're going to focus on now is Christ will deliver this kingdom to God the Father. See, that's one of the major goals of missions. What's missions all about? Again, we could mention many things under that. Certainly, it's to lead others to Christ, that an individual sinner would be reconciled to a holy God. That's one of the goals of missions. But as we think of what is the ultimate goal, what are some of the ultimate goals, the end goals? We see this here in 1 Corinthians 15, 24. When the end comes, when the mission is completed, when we've evangelized the world, what's going to happen? What's at the end of all of this? Why are we here doing the work of missions? That Christ would deliver this kingdom to God the Father. That's what I want to be part of. And that's what we need to be part of as the church of God. And this is our second main point, the kingdom. So we started a little backwards. Point one, the end. And now point number two, the kingdom. Again, looking back at our text here, then comes the end. And what happens at the end? Christ will deliver. He will hand over this kingdom to God the Father. This is the true kingdom. As we speak of the kingdom of God, this is the true kingdom. There are many so-called kingdoms in this world, but there's only one true kingdom, and that's the kingdom of which we speak even now. As Christ delivers this kingdom to God the Father, it's the true kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. This is the theme throughout the book of the Revelation. Read through Revelation 1 all the way to the end. We see this emphasis on the kingdom. Again, why do we do missions? Why should we seek to evangelize the nations? Why should we bring this gospel not just to the Jew, but to all Gentiles? Is that this kingdom would come. And it's not a kingdom of this world. What does Jesus say in John chapter 18, right? He's on trial before Pilate, the governor, a political man who knows all about a kingdom. And Jesus tells him, my kingdom is not of this world. There's a different kingdom. And that's the kingdom that Jesus calls us to be part of. That's the kingdom that we need to be doing work for. Well, Jesus did kingdom work. The kingdom relates to Jesus as well. Jesus often used the phrase, the kingdom. Read through the Gospels, especially Matthew and Luke. Read through those two Gospels, and we'll see constantly Jesus' focus on the kingdom and the phrase that he often used, the kingdom. This was constantly on his mind. He came to do the work of the kingdom. He came to proclaim the message of the kingdom. We see that in Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 9. The same phrase used, that Jesus went throughout all the villages doing what? Proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. You see, Jesus was involved in kingdom work. His focus was on the kingdom of God. Is yours? What are things that you focus on? What's the message in your mind always that you want to tell other people? Is it about sports or the weather? See, when Jesus walked this earth, what was on his mind constantly, what he was always declaring was the message of the kingdom. So again, another definition that we could give for missions is to continue the work that Jesus began. See, when Jesus was on the earth, he went to all the villages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. That's missions. Continuing this work. Continuing to go to the villages, to the nations, to the peoples of this world, doing what Jesus did. Announcing the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. You see, a biblical missionaries are those who go to the nations announcing the message of the kingdom. That's a missionary. Continuing the work that Christ himself has begun. You see, since the kingdom is what Jesus will deliver to God the Father, shouldn't we prioritize it? Notice here in our text in 1 Corinthians 15:24, the end is coming. We're thinking of ultimate goals, the fruition of everything. And what's going to happen? Christ is going to deliver this kingdom to God the Father. Of all the things that Paul could have written, and the Holy Spirit could have told us here in this verse, the end comes and the kingdom will be delivered to God the Father. Since that's the case, shouldn't we, as the people of God, prioritize the kingdom? Think of Matthew chapter 6. What does Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom. He doesn't say seek first politics. He doesn't say seek first education. Jesus says to the world, he says to us even today, seek first the kingdom. My friends, this is what Christ will deliver to God the Father. This ultimate prize, the goal for which Christ died. Is this a priority in your life? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? The way you think, the way you live, the way you spend money, why you come to church, why you're a family? Is it because of the kingdom of God? Is that what you're seeking first? See, as we consider the kingdom of God, every individual who has ever been conceived in this world relates to the kingdom of God. They're either in the kingdom or they're not. Every individual who's ever existed. That's how we divide humanity. You know, there's a lot of talk in our day and age about division and different kinds of people. The main division among all humans, all the nations, all peoples who have ever existed, doesn't matter what color skin we have, doesn't matter what language we speak, doesn't matter what country we were born in, the division of mankind is those who are in the kingdom and those who are not. And my friends, the question for you this morning is, are you in the kingdom? You young kids here, You older folks, are you in the kingdom of God? You see, that's what missions is all about. Going to the world and asking that question, are you in the kingdom? Come into the kingdom, that invitation. And as we continue on considering this theme of the kingdom, and that one day Christ will deliver this kingdom to God the Father, you know, the clear fact regarding the kingdom is that Jesus is the king. As we consider the kingdom of God, there's a king. And that king is none other than Jesus Christ. Think of Zechariah chapter 9, right? The great prophecy in the Old Testament about the king, about the coming of the king. Then in Matthew chapter 21, as Jesus himself, the God-man, enters Jerusalem, that prophecy is fulfilled. The king has come, and the king is coming back to complete his kingdom. Is that something that you're thinking about? Is that a priority in your life? It says in Revelation chapter 1 that Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Again, there's no one else who rules this kingdom except for Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, as we read in Revelation chapter 19. Again, read through Revelation, we'll see this great theme of the kingdom of God and Christ himself coming as the conquering king. And how does he conquer the world? He conquers it through what we call missions, through the gospel being proclaimed to all peoples. You see, one of the goals of missions is to declare to the unevangelized people groups of this world that there's no king but Christ. That's what missions is all about. See, all throughout this world, whether it's Papua New Guinea where we are, whether it's Russia, whether it's South America, pick the place. Doesn't matter. Everyone who is not a believer, who's not a Christian, they are worshiping some other king. They are following some other king, some other God. What is missions? Missions is about going to these people and telling them there's only one king. There's one kingdom. And right now you're outside of it. And you need to come into this kingdom. You need to bow your knee to Jesus Christ. What do we read in the New Testament? That one day every knee will bow. To who? To the king. The king of this kingdom, who is Jesus Christ. So what should our response be? Christ is king. There is a kingdom. What should our response be? What should your response be to these truths that we see in the scripture? To the fact that Jesus is king. Well, it needs to be obedience to our king regarding the mission. Our response should be that. Has that been your response? Are you a Christian saying, you know what? There's a kingdom. Christ is the king. He's given us a mission that relates to the kingdom. I need to respond in obedience to this mission. I need to be part of this great work. To do the work of missions. We could say kingdom missions. You see, the message of missions is calling all peoples, especially those peoples who have not yet heard, calling all peoples of this world to allegiance with the King of the Kingdom. That's what missions is all about. And we tell them, stop believing your wrong worldview. Stop following your wrong God. Stop believing these wrong ideas. That's what missions is all about. It's where a biblical worldview collides with a wrong worldview, a wrong God, a wrong idea. And missions is about telling these people of the world, stop following this and follow Christ. He's the king. A kingdom is coming. And you need to be part of this kingdom. You see, that's what missions is all about. That's what evangelism is all about too. As you seek to evangelize your community here in this very city of Providence, your state, your communities, that's what evangelism is all about. Is that what you're doing? Is that what you long to do? Local evangelism and worldwide missions. Recognizing the fact that there is a kingdom, that Christ is king, and calling people to submission to him. Continuing under this point of the kingdom. The kingdom is comprised of Jesus' people. Only. We read in Revelation chapter 1. Again, as we see in our text, Jesus will deliver this kingdom. Well, who's in that kingdom? In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus says that Jesus has made his people a kingdom. The only people whom Jesus will deliver to God the Father are his people. Those who belong to him. Those who have bowed their knee to Christ. Have you? Are you part of that group? Those who belong to Jesus Christ, those who have submitted to him as king. Only those who belong to Jesus are part of his kingdom. You see, that doesn't include many people in this world. As we consider humanity, think of even what Jesus said. There's a broad road that leads to destruction. There's a narrow road that leads to life. Think of what Jesus is saying. He also said, strive to enter, right? Because many will not enter. As we consider the world, as we lift up our eyes, right? That's what Jesus says. Lift up your eyes. Stop looking at your own life. Lift up your eyes and see the nation. See the people around you. And realize, recognize that the majority of people that you come in contact with outside this building, the majority would not be part of this kingdom. And that should burden your heart. That should cause you to respond to this mission that Christ has given us. To realize one day Christ will deliver this kingdom to God the Father. Don't you want investment in this kingdom? Don't you want your neighbors part of this kingdom? Don't you want the people of Papua New Guinea part of this kingdom? And all those who are unevangelized, who remain unreached, don't you want them part of this kingdom? It should burden our hearts. We should be busy to do the work of the kingdom. As we consider this, that only Christ's people are part of his kingdom, you know what? Jesus' kingdom, it's greater than, it surpasses, as we read in Revelation chapter 11, the kingdoms of this world. So don't think that we're missing out. You know, like the Christian has the worst life ever. That's not the case at all. The kingdom that we're part of, and this should encourage us, this should cause us to be more faithful to Christ as king. The kingdom that we're part of is greater than. It surpasses the kingdoms of this world. Don't believe the lies of this world and the Hollywood movies and what we read on the internet and what politics tells us and what the schools tell us that we're missing out, that Christianity is, you know, it's really not worth it. It's fake anyway. Don't believe that. The kingdom of Christ will surpass everything in this world. And if you're a Christian, I hope that encourages you to realize, you know what? I belong to the greatest kingdom that's ever been, that ever will be, and I'm going to serve my king. I don't care what other people think. I don't care what other people say, because I'm part of the kingdom. I'm following the king, and I'm going to do his work. Christ's people are part of the greatest, most extensive kingdom in history. You know, we think of other kingdoms throughout history, right? We think of the great kingdom of Rome. The Empire of Rome, right? And all the history books written about Rome. We think of guys like Alexander the Great and the great kingdom he accomplished and established. We think of America, that a lot of people say the greatest kingdom, the greatest nation that's ever been. Well, let me tell you something. Based on what Scripture teaches us in this kingdom that one day Christ will deliver to God the Father, the kingdom that Christ's people are part of is greater than, is more extensive than anything that's ever existed in history. If you're not a Christian, don't you want to be part of this kingdom? I don't know most of you in this room, but if you're not a Christian, you need to be part of this kingdom. You need to turn away from the things of this world. You need to repent of your sin. You need to come into this kingdom. You need to bow your knee to Christ. So if you're not a Christian in this room, today you become a Christian. Today you follow Christ the King. And you become part of this kingdom that one day God the Father will deliver, Jesus will deliver to God the Father. That's the group of people you want to be part of. You don't want to miss out on that. Well, again, continuing under our point here, this kingdom is offered to everybody. There's no one in this room, male, female, boy, girl, old, young, doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter where you were born. This kingdom is offered to everybody. Isn't that the greatest message? Now think of all the different political messages we hear, religious messages, other ones, education, all the things of this world, all the messages we hear. It's always geared to one kind of group of people, right? Not the gospel. Not the kingdom of Christ. It's offered to everybody. Doesn't matter who you are. You're invited to come into this kingdom. Doesn't matter who the nations are. We are called to go to them with this kingdom. We read in Matthew chapter 8 again, Matthew and Luke focusing on the kingdom. Christ always spoke of that. We read in Matthew chapter 8 that many will come from the east, many will come from the west, speaking of the world, humanity, and they'll recline at the table in the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be people from everywhere, part of this kingdom. All different color skin, all different languages, all different backgrounds, all different nationalities brought into one kingdom. And as we read in Ephesians, it is one new man. Forget all the division in this world. Christ is making one new man, where there will be peace, where there will be unity, but it's only in this kingdom. So again, if you're not part of this kingdom today, then join this kingdom, and there will be peace for you. There will be unity for you among the people of God. This kingdom which Jesus gives to God the Father will be made up of all the peoples of this world. That's why we do missions. Right? Jesus didn't say, just evangelize Jerusalem. Jesus said, go to the nations, to the very corners of this earth, and bring them this message of the kingdom. And that's Jesus' desire. Now, as we think of the death of Christ upon the cross, why his blood was shed, it was to cover the sins of his people among all the peoples of this world. Christians of all people should not be prejudiced, right? Our desire should be that all people would be brought into this kingdom, that the blood of Christ would cleanse and save the nations. And this is how the end, as we've seen, and the kingdom are related to missions. We don't just sit around as Christians waiting for, you know, the kingdom to come somehow, but we are active participants in causing this kingdom to come by the power of God. So this is another way that the kingdom relates to missions. Missions is the task of calling all peoples to join the kingdom. Now what we see in this world, you know, whatever cause it is, you know, this cause, that cause, on Facebook, on YouTube, on the internet, you know, come join this cause, come join this group. We're doing the same thing as Christians. We're calling the world, we're calling the nations, all people, come into the kingdom of God. So the purpose of missions is to go to the peoples of this world, especially those peoples who have not yet heard, and call them to enter into God's kingdom. Are you part of that work in some way? In a deliberate way? In an intentional way? Well, you might say, well, you know, we go to church and, you know, the church gives money to missions. I'm talking about something more specific than that. To be deliberate and to be intentional about this work of missions and seeking to bring the nations into the kingdom. Well, how do the peoples get into the kingdom? Well, we read here in our text again, Christ will deliver the kingdom. How does someone get into the kingdom? Again, Jesus gives us the answer. Matthew, he mentions it twice. And he gives us one word. As he's speaking about the kingdom, we all know the word. He's talking about the kingdom. He's saying that the kingdom of heaven is here. So what should we do? What should our response be? Repent. That's it. How do you get into the kingdom? If you're a Christian, how have you entered the kingdom already? You've repented of your sins. That's what we go to the nations telling. We tell them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. We don't beat around the bush. You know, missions is about announcing the most important message in all of history. We don't go with some, you know, wishy-washy message, sugar-coating things. Missions is about a direct message to the people of this world. That we're sinners against a holy God and we need to repent of our sin or we will not enter the kingdom. So repentance is how people get into this kingdom. Anyone who's going to this world as a missionary not preaching repentance is not doing missions work. Missions is about obeying Jesus' call to go proclaim to the entire world, according to Matthew chapter 10, that the kingdom of heaven is here. Yes, in some sense, the kingdom will finally come. That's what we see here in our text. One day the kingdom will be complete. It'll be finalized. But we go to the nations now in our day and age and we say, the kingdom of heaven is here. It's come. Be part of it. So as we finish this point on the kingdom, we've said this. We see in our text and other passages that I've brought in how missions and the kingdom are related. Missions is about doing kingdom work. So how should we respond? See, Christianity isn't about just hearing what Scripture says. It's how we respond to it, right? I hope that every Sunday, every Lord's Day, that you come and hear God's word, when you gather as a church, when you have your own devotions, that you would allow God's word to conform you, to shape you. We should always be asking, how should we respond? As we hear the word of God, how should we respond? How should you respond to the kingdom, to the mission? Shouldn't we be more dedicated and devoted to the mission? If these things are true, shouldn't we be more dedicated? See, sometimes we get so caught up with our own life, right? And I understand, you know, we live normal life. We have to get a paycheck, and we got to pay for this, and we got to go to the store. We got to fix our cars. That's just life in this world. But as we consider the grand scheme of things, the end of time, the return of Christ, this kingdom that he's going to deliver to God the Father, shouldn't we be more dedicated, more devoted to the work of the kingdom? That's the challenge for you this morning. As an individual Christian, and as a church. I want to challenge you as Christians here to talk to one another. As it comes under this point here, how should we respond? Talk to each other. How should we be more engaged in the mission? How should we be more dedicated to this kingdom work? Encourage each other. Talk to each other about this. Be more intentional to do kingdom work locally, to do kingdom work globally. And when all the work of missions is done, what do we see in our text? When Christ returns, he'll deliver this kingdom to God the Father. That's going to be an amazing day, right? When we see Christ come back and the kingdom is fulfilled, the kingdom is complete, and we're part of it. That's going to be an amazing day. That's what I'm working towards. That's what I'm going to challenge you to work towards. That together as the people of God, individual Christians and collectively as a church, that we would work towards the end and the mission and the kingdom. Our desire should be to complete the work, right? You know, we're not going to be doing missions forever. Like, well, you know, people will just forever be getting saved. That's not the way it is. One day, the last person will be saved. That's why we need to think of it. God's people are out there. Christ has purchased them with his own blood. They're out there. And our job is to, in a sense, go get them. Go bring them into the kingdom. Right? What does Jesus say? I have other sheep that are not of this fold. And he says, I must bring them. And he does that through us. We are co-workers with Christ in missions. So we should desire the work to be completed. I'm sure you're that way in your own job, right? All of us here who have jobs, you might have employment outside your home, or you have a job inside your home. What do you want to do? You want to get the job done. That's how we should think of missions as well. Let's get the job done. Think of the military. You know, there's so many good military illustrations that we could give. We see it all throughout the New Testament as well, as it relates to the kingdom of God and missions. Military illustrations. You know, the point is to finish the war. Right? It's not like, well, let's just keep fighting war forever and ever. That's not the point, right? The point is to finish a war. The point is to finish missions. And we all should be collectively invested in this work. That's the challenge I want to give to you this morning. As we consider the end that's approaching, as we consider this kingdom that Christ will deliver to God the Father, be part of this work. So in conclusion, we have seen from Scripture that one of the main biblical purposes of the death of Christ is the establishment of the kingdom. Why did Jesus, the God-man, come? Why did he hang upon a cross? One main reason is that he would establish a kingdom, that he would make a new man, that he would reverse this curse and make a new creation, that this kingdom would come. We heard that this relates to missions because it's through missions that the kingdom comes, or that we establish this kingdom, right? We have been reminded that one primary goal of missions is for Christ's kingdom to be established throughout the world as the gospel is preached. We also saw from our text here in 1 Corinthians 15:24 that the end is coming. That this relates to the mission and to the kingdom. And if that's the only thing you get, may that cause us to be faithful to the work, that the end is coming. You know, think, again, say a work illustration. Your boss goes away, you know, for a week or for a day, whatever, and says, listen, here's the job you need to get done, finish it. Jesus gave parables like that as well. And your boss comes back and you didn't do anything. You're going to probably get fired, right? Christ has given us a work to do and he's coming back. We don't want to be like those who have just sat on the sideline. We don't want to be bench warmers. We want to be doing the work of the kingdom. That's the challenge I want to give to you this morning as we consider the end coming. So again, the question, how should we respond? Won't you do more for the mission as we see the end approaching and the kingdom of God coming? Won't you do more? Whatever that means. I'm not going to give specifics this morning. Think about it. Pray about it individually as a church to be more dedicated to the work of the mission. So my last statement this morning. Jesus has died to save his people from all the kingdoms, all the nations of this world. He has called us to the mission of proclaiming his gospel to all peoples, especially those who have not yet heard this message, in order that he would establish his kingdom. And when this work of missions is completed, then the end will come. And Christ will deliver this kingdom to God the Father. That's 1 Corinthians 15:24. This is what missions is all about. So let's do it. Let's pray. Father, bless your word that has been preached here from 1 Corinthians 15 as we've considered the end, as we've considered your kingdom. Father, please work in us as your people that we would soberly consider the quickly approaching end, the return of Christ. Father, one day you will send him to gather his people and help us to be busy and to be working as it's day because the night is coming. Make us more dedicated, more committed to the work of the kingdom, that we would seek first your kingdom. Father, for your people here, that you would spur them on to have a deeper focus and commitment to the work of the gospel, not just locally, but globally to all the nations. So, Father, send your spirit to bless your word for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. Amen.